Well, good morning. Lovely to see you. A really warm welcome to our service here at St. Phil Road. Whether you're here in person, it's great to see everyone here, or joining us online, it's lovely to have you with us this morning. It's great to have children and families in with us today. And from next week, we're really looking forward to having children and families in from the start every week. We'll have a little bit more capacity from next week, a few more chairs be able to be in here. So we're still going to basically alternate between districts 1 to 7 and 8 to 15. And we'll still be live streaming at 11 o'clock, and you can still watch that afterwards too. But for children, and also perhaps for a few others who would really benefit from being amongst people worshipping more frequently or weekly, the opportunity is going to be there from next week onwards, and we'll see how that works over the coming weeks. But it's great to see you here today, or have you join with us as we worship Jesus together. As we begin our service, and we've got a bit of a back to school and back to church and back with God theme going on today. So we're going to hear some words from Psalm 33. And these words help us lift our eyes away from ourselves and everything else that's going on in our lives, and help us to worship our living God, who we meet together to worship today. So I'm going to read the words that are in white from Psalm 33. I'm going to invite you to, can you see that? How people's eyesight's doing? That's a bit of an optician's test, that, isn't it? I'm going to invite you to say the last line again with me after I've said it. So actually, if you can't read it, you just have to listen very carefully to what I say and say those words again. It will be the words, Lord, show your love to us as we put our hope in you. Psalm 33 says this, God's word is true. Everything he does is right. He loves what is right and fair. The Lord's love fills the earth. So our hope is in the Lord. He is our help, our shield to protect us. We rejoice in him. We trust in his holy name. Lord, show your love to us as we put our hope in you. Lord, show your love to us as we put our hope in you. Let's pray together as we begin. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you. Your word is true. Everything you do is right. Your love fills the earth, and all your people praise you. We want to say to you today that our hope and our trust are in you. No matter the difficulties, no matter the challenges, despite even the times we mess up and sin, you are the God who draws near to help us and save us. May we know your presence with us today and always, in school or wherever we go. Lord, show your love to us as we put our hope in you. Amen. We're going to sing together. We're going to stand and sing. We keep our masks on, but we can sing away, Come People of the Risen King. Let's praise God.
Shift and shadows are
Well, our theme for this Back to School with God service, it's very helpfully inspired by Scripture Union. Our theme is the boat and the breakfast. So I'm wondering as we start, if anybody can think of Bible stories with a boat in them. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. You can chat where you are or think where you are. Can you think of any Bible story with a boat in it? Go. I'm going to ask you in a moment. Great. Chris Guinea's here, counting on his fingers. He's getting through loads. Right, that's enough. Give me some ideas. Bible stories with boats in them. Noah's Ark. Great, thanks, Stephen. Jesus calming the storm. Brilliant, thank you. Jonah. Great, Jonah in the boat and jumping in the fish. Yep. Any others? Paul shipwrecked. Peter walking on the water, or trying to walk on the water, yep. Catching so many fish, they couldn't get the men out on the boat. Great, great. But this morning's story is not just about a boat. It's about a breakfast. Anybody think of any Bible stories with breakfast in it? Oh, the wedding breakfast. Oh, we're getting clever over here. Very good. Great. An Ulster fry. Yeah, do you know, I'd love a Bible story with an Ulster fry in it, Margaret. That would be great. I'll be preaching on that most weeks. Well, this one has a boat and a breakfast in it. Now, Lorraine is going to come and read this. So listen out as you hear this story for what happens in the boat and who's in the boat and for the breakfast. Now, there's going to be pictures on the screen. So as Lorraine reads, you can look out for the pictures of what's happening on the screen. Lorraine, thank you.
Later, Jesus showed himself to the followers by Lake Galilee. This is how it happened. Some of the followers were together. There were Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the two sons of Zebedee, and two of their followers. Simon Peter said, "I'm going out to fish." The other followers said, "We will go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. They fished that night but caught nothing. Early the next morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the followers did not know that it was Jesus. Then he said to them, "Friends, have you caught any fish?" They answered, "No." He said, "Throw your net into the water on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they did this. They caught so many fish that they could not pull the net back into the boat. The follower whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Peter heard him say this, he wrapped his coat around himself, then jumped into the water. The other followers went to the shore in the boat, dragging a net full of fish. They were not very far from the shore, only about 100 yards. When the followers stepped out of the boat and onto the shore, they saw a fire of hot coals. There were fish on the fire, and there was bread. When Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you have caught," Simon Peter went into the boat and pulled the net to the shore. It was full of big fish. There was 153. Even though there were so many, the net did not tear. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat." None of the followers dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. He also gave them fish. This was now the third time Jesus showed himself to his followers after he was raised from death. Amen.
Now, Lorraine, I'm just going to keep you here for a minute. Thanks very much for reading for us about the boat and the breakfast. So that's from the end of John's Gospel, and we're going to think about that in a minute. But Lorraine, I wanted to just keep you and ask you a couple of questions for a minute now, but I did ask Lorraine this beforehand in case somebody's thinking, I'm never doing a reading again, because Ben will just jump on you. But Lorraine, we are talking about going back to school this morning, and it struck me that you are an expert in going back to school. So, I mean, you will have gone to school and gone back to school yourself, obviously, and you've had children, and you've seen them back to school term after term and year after year. But Lorraine, you're also a nursery assistant at a nursery school. Now, tell all of us who won't believe this. How many years have you been going back to school as a nursery assistant?
43.
43, Lorraine. You must have gone straight after primary school. You went in nappies. So for 43 years, you have been going back to school every year in September. And in fact, you're such an expert at this that we did mention this last year, but the Queen recognises how good you are at this, doesn't she? So she gave you a British Empire Medal for this. Is that right? Has she given it to you yet?
No, I haven't got it yet.
She hasn't got it.
No.
Did she phone you up and say, I can't come over, Lorraine, I'll come and give it to you soon. But we're really pleased for you and proud for you, and what a great achievement. So, you're an expert in going back to school. Lorraine, tell us, just how's it been going back to school this term, this kind of late August, September?
It's been quite tricky. Because of COVID and the rules and everything's changed slightly, it's just hard getting back to rules one week, rules the next. But basically, we're all knackered already.
Just a week or two.
And quite tiring, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's quite tiring because you've just to be on the ball all the time. Quick, fast. Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people in different situations can really identify with that too and recognise that for you. Tell me this, just a sort of simple question. You may have found it this year, but every year you go back, do you find that some of your routines change as you go from sort of summer and you're kind of sunning yourself on holiday to back into school?
Oh, it's crazy. One minute you're having breakfast that lasts about half an hour, 45 minutes, to like, whoosh, make sure your bag's packed the night before, out the door by 8 o'clock, make sure you've got the right shoes on, all that sort of stuff. You have to be very organised.
Routines really change, don't they? We're thinking about breakfast again this morning, and that's struck me too. Breakfast is a real routine change, isn't it, when you get back to school? So from, you know, Stephen cooking you a leisurely breakfast throughout the summer, back to those Ulster fries, Margaret, no, to quick brushing the teeth, a quick breakfast, and packing the bags, and away we go. I'm sure lots of guys here find the same. Lorraine, one of the things we're wanting to do a little bit more over this coming year and the coming months is ask people a little bit, what will you be doing this time tomorrow? So you're in tomorrow. It doesn't have to be exact, but say around about 11:15. What will you be doing this time tomorrow?
This time tomorrow, Monday morning's very busy. We could have maybe 5 or 6 in tears. So we need to have lots of tissues about. And this is the first time most of these children have left their mums. And with COVID, it's been even harder. So we greet the children, we try and get a routine set up, we just be there, try to be a mum, try to be a teacher, try to be an assistant all at the one time. But basically get them in, get them happy, and then we play.
And then you play. That sounds good bit. That sounds
yes,
a great
that's a
bit.
Good bit. That's a good bit.
Well, so tell me this is one final thing. What's one joy and what's one challenge as you head back to a new term?
The joy is actually being in the same job for 43 years. It's ridiculous that I can still do that. But also to see the children coming in, never left mum, and progressing and just becoming lovely wee people. And seeing that the challenges are tiny chairs. The chairs are so small. It's getting off the tiny chairs that's the hard bit. The challenge is just having the stamina and just having the patience and just keep going.
Lorraine, thank you very much. We continue to think of you and pray for you and lots of other people in similar situations, where children going back, people going back to teaching or to work, with all the joys that is, and someone here for 2 years, or if you're just starting a new school, you're thinking, wow, 43 years, that's amazing.
Mad
and amazing at the same time. And also the challenges that you and we all face. Lorraine, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ah, Bible story that we heard that Lorraine read for us takes place after Jesus had died and risen again. And he's now alive, and John is telling us how Jesus had appeared. He's just told us how Jesus had appeared to Mary and some of the other disciples. And that included Simon Peter. And it had been quite an exciting time. It had been quite an overwhelming time because things were really quite different and strange. But Peter, he'd had enough of all this kind of talking and discussing and chatting about things and sitting around. Peter wanted to go out and do something. Now, Peter, as we know, was a fisherman before he met Jesus. And he decided, I want to go back out and fish again. I want to get back to routine. Now, for Peter, the boat on the lake was like his school, like his office. It was what he did every day. It was what was familiar to him. So he wanted to head off and do that. Now, if you're at school, actually even if you're at work, if you're at school though, particularly you probably have kind of stuff that you take every day. You have your backpack. So Lorraine was talking about packing her bag. This is actually Ethan's backpack. So you've got the eyes watching you everywhere you go. And you have your bag. Who's got a bag? Who's got a school bag they take to school? Yeah. Who's got a bag they take to work? Everybody packs their bag for work, don't they? So what do you have? You have books and water and wipes, hand sanitizer, pencils, your lunchbox, all that kind of stuff. You have your stuff to take regularly and routine to school or work. Peter had slightly different things. So Peter, he went out on a lake on a boat. Oh, how long did it take me to pump this up? Oh. So Peter, well, I'm not sure his boat looked quite like this, but he went out with his boat and his net. Who's been on one of these? Anybody been on one of these? Yeah. Not enough hands at the back, but that's good. Beth, am I the expert in our family? No. Anyway, been out a bit, so on a boat, and he's got his net. So one of the things Peter wanted to do was just get out and do something. And maybe you can identify with that. Maybe going back to school is like, yeah, I just actually want to get back and get active and doing things and into routine. And the other thing that happened was Peter went out with his friends, didn't he? So we heard about Nathaniel and James and John and Thomas. That's a great thing too, isn't it? That's probably one of the things we look forward to going back to school and to work, is seeing other people and having their company and doing things with them. So there's Peter, and he's off with his friends, back into routine, back into doing stuff, and they head off into the sea to go fishing. But despite it being familiar to them, despite them knowing what they're doing and being experts in this fishing thing, for Peter and the others, it was a bit of a disappointing night. They'd been fishing all night, and by the morning they had caught nothing. Nothing. Out on the boat all night, but by the morning they caught nothing, working away. And maybe, do you know what, maybe we can identify with that a bit, can't we? Working away at things, working really hard at things, and then they just don't work out. Maybe this last year or two has been a bit frustrating or disappointing like that. Maybe you've done some things and you work really hard at them, and they just haven't worked out. There's been some disappointments, some challenges at school or at work. And Peter and his friends, they found that after a night of fruitless fishing. So there they were, they thought, we've tried, but we failed. We might as well just head back to shore. Cold, wet, tired. So that's what they do. They start heading back. But as they do, this spot on the shore, this figure, this man on the shore. Now, they don't know who it is at first. We know it's Jesus. But this man shouts out to them, "Have you caught any fish?" And no, they haven't. They haven't caught anything. And then he says to them, "Put your nets to the other side." Now, these guys all know what they're doing. So they might have thought, "What is this guy, this stranger on the shore? What does he know? You know, we're the experts in fishing here." But they didn't. They did what he said. Sometimes it can be hard to do what other people say, isn't it, when we think we know better. But they made a wise choice to do what he said because it was Jesus speaking to them. And they discovered, as they did what he said, and wise followers know to listen to Jesus and do what he says, they discovered as they fished the other side, actually massive amounts of fish came up. They caught 153, loads and loads of fishes. And the boat was filled not just with lots of wriggly fish, but lots of amazed and excited disciples. And they realized it was Jesus. And they realized that Jesus had transformed their heading out in a boat. They'd tried and failed, but with Jesus, Jesus had made it possible. It's good to remember and just look again at those words we began with in Psalm 33. Our hope is in the Lord. He is our help. Well, the disciples realized that with Jesus, that they and we can rely on him. As we head out to our school or work or whatever we do, we head out with Jesus and with his powerful presence, and that can make all the difference to our daily lives. Well, Peter, who was on the boat, and he recognized it was Jesus, and he thought, "Oh, I'm going to go," you know, so eager to get to him that he jumped into the water, and he waded through. And as he waded to get to Jesus, he found on the shore that there was Jesus with a barbecue. Jesus, anybody ever had a barbecue for breakfast? That sounds a fabulous idea, doesn't it? But Jesus was barbecuing breakfast. He had fish and bread and a warm fire, and these cold, wet, tired disciples came back, and they sat round the fire with Jesus and ate the food. Now, Jesus, he wasn't like a kind of takeaway delivery driver who brought the food and dumped it and then went. He stayed with them, and they sat around, and he really wanted their company, and they really enjoyed his company, and they talked, and he listened, and he spoke to them, and he fed them. So not only did they know that Jesus was with them as they headed out, and that made all the difference, but they knew too that Jesus wanted them to gather in with him. That he said to them, "Come and eat and have breakfast with me." That he says to them and us, "I love you." I wonder if we realize how much he loves us and wants our company and wants to speak with us and feed us. He says, "Come and enjoy my company. Gather around with me and be fed and nourished and loved." So there's the story of the boat heading out with Jesus and the breakfast, gathering in with Jesus. We're going to think about that a little bit more in a moment or two and what it might mean for us. But before we do, we're going to sing a couple of songs about Jesus being our lighthouse, brings us safe to shore, my lighthouse, and the one who shines in our lives. Shine, Jesus, shine. Let's stand and sing together.
Oh,
So we thought about the disciples heading out on a boat. Like we head out to our weekly, daily lives in school or work or wherever that may be. Heading out maybe in new and different circumstances, them and us. Heading out with daily routine. But we saw what a difference it made to them when they realized and they had the presence and the power of Jesus with them. It doesn't mean everything will always go splendidly every day. But it can transform how we see days and feel about days and think about our days. We're not alone. We have Jesus' powerful, loving presence with us as we head out on our day. And actually, we can be transformed as Jesus works through us. Just in the way he worked through those fishermen, they put their nets out and something amazing happened. So as Jesus works in us, he can do amazing things in our school or work or office or home or wherever that may be. We've just been singing, haven't we? Shine on me, that we may reflect Jesus' brightness and shine to others. So let me do a bit of a hands up thing here. Schools have started back. Hands up if you are in primary school or nursery school. Hands up in primary school or nursery. Great. Now, you're going to have to keep your hands up. Your guys are going to be the ones to have keeping your hands up all the way through. Sorry about that. So keep your hands up. Hands up if you are in post-primary, your year 8 or above. A few more there. Great. Hands up if you're at college or university or doing an apprenticeship or a night class, some kind of sort of next level learning. A few more there. Hands up if you're a teacher in a school or a college or a university or the like, teaching somewhere. Got a few more teachers' hands up. Great. Hands up if you work in education in some other way. Great. So lots of people involved in education and schools already around us. Work's begun back after the summer as well, hasn't it? Hands up if in the last few weeks you've headed back to work after having a bit of a summer break. Or you're heading back into the office after being at home for a while. Or you're heading into a new workplace situation. Who's been heading back to work in one way or another? Right, I still need everybody who have asked to put their hands up, having their hands up here. That's great. Now, hands up if your children or your grandchildren or your nieces or your nephews are going to school and you're in any way involved in dropping them off or picking them up or doing homeworks with them. And hands up, and here's the big catch-all, but it's important. Hands up if you've been and done school. And maybe even been and done work. And term time doesn't really mean much to you anymore. Hey, it's August, it's September, it's January. But you can still remember what it was like to begin school, to begin work again. And you still want to know the powerful and loving presence of Jesus with you as you head out on your day, wherever that may take you or keep you. That's got to be all of us, hasn't it? May we know the powerful presence of Jesus wherever any of us head out to. I want to use a very brief responsive prayer for us to use. It's particularly with schools and children and others at school in mind. But as we pray, we may think of other places we want to shine brightly to. Amy's going to be leading us in a few moments in prayer. But I'm going to invite everybody to close your eyes, and I'm just going to utter a few lines of a prayer. But after each line, we're going to use this response. I haven't got it up on the screen, so you're just going to have to memorize it. Help me to shine brightly. Let's try that. Help me to shine brightly. And if it's not your situation, think of others who are in that and pray for them doing it. Let's close our eyes and pray. Lord God, when I stop and help someone in the playground, help me to shine brightly. When I do the right thing and include people that others leave out. Help me to shine brightly. When people laugh because I'm the only one who doesn't swear, help me to shine brightly. When others mock me for going to my school SU group or for my faith, help me to shine brightly. When I'm brave enough to invite friends along to church, help me to shine brightly. When I treat my pupils and students and employees with love and respect, help me to shine brightly. When I chat to others in the staff room or to my colleagues, help me to shine brightly. When I talk to parents and grandparents at the school gate, help me to shine brightly. When I faithfully pray for our local schools, help me to shine brightly. Amen. Well, just as well as heading out with Jesus and the powerful presence of Jesus, we learned from this story about gathering in with Jesus, didn't we? The barbecue breakfast. And that breakfast reminds us that Jesus wants our company too. He gives us the same invitation he gave to those disciples, to come to him, to enjoy his presence, to listen to him, to be fed by him. Now, being fed by Jesus isn't necessarily with fish and bread or sausages or whatever else you barbecue, although it is a good thing to remember, isn't it, every time we have a meal, that that comes from God and to thank him for it. But often when the Bible talks about being fed, nourished by Jesus, it's talking about learning from his word, listening to what he has to say to us, learning about Jesus together and growing bigger in our faith and love. So as well as remembering that we head out with Jesus, we remember how good and important it is to gather in with Jesus together and learn more about him. It's been a funny time, hasn't it, over the last months, year and a half, not being able to come out to church as much, and perhaps sitting, watching on the sofa. It's getting a little more safe to be able to come out and to gather. We try and do this safely each and every week to gather with Jesus. And so, in as far as we feel comfortable to do that, we're continuing to encourage people to gather, as I said, alternate weeks, 1 to 7, 8 to 15. And the live stream is still on every Sunday at 11 o'clock. After a summer and a summer break, it's a good reminder, isn't it, to make gathering in at church or online a key part of our weekly routine, where we come and enjoy Jesus' company together and are fed by him. And as I look around and see lots of your children at the front here, we've missed having you in our worship together. It's been great that Ark and Picnic have been going on. I hope you really enjoyed that. But we've missed being able to have all ages together. And we're looking forward that from with today and next week too, we'll be able to begin together before you head out to Sunday picnic, when you really will be fed as well. That's great. And ARC and JCBs for year 8 and 9. And for a few others to be able to join us more frequently too. We're going to be thinking over these coming Sundays as we look at that book I was talking about last week, Love Your Church, in our sermon series. Now, you can get a copy of that book. There's some out there. You can get a copy for £5. We're going to be thinking about it in our life groups too. And let me just say, tonight at 7 o'clock is a great opportunity, if you're in a life group or you want to think about being in a life group, to come along and just hear for about half an hour, 40 minutes or so, about life groups and about that series, Love Your Church. But as a new term starts, I just want to finish by saying we're really thankful for all of those who lead us, from the youngest to the oldest, in our groups as we gather to learn about Jesus. There's a prayer video I put up on Wednesday that if you haven't watched, you could watch, and it helps you to go around the church and pray for all the things that are happening, all the groups that may be gathering in these buildings. But let's do one final hands up, whether you're here or at home. Hands up if you ever do or have done lead or help or teach in our church with our children or young people or any of our organizations or with our life groups or with midweek, or perhaps you've done a devotional at Tuesday break. And by the way, quick advert, Tuesday break's coming back on the 14th of September. Little card at the door, pick one up as you go. But if you lead or help in any way as we gather in our different ways, in our different groups, just put a wee pour up. There's a whole number of people there, and there are probably others who are being coy too and do and don't realize it. I and we want to thank you for your involvement and for the wider church in supporting this. There are some people who have taught and led, maybe even with our children and young people, for a while. Some who have stepped down from doing that, but we're really grateful for all they've invested in that. There's some even over the past couple of years of hiatus and this being a bit up in the air who have stepped down quietly, and we're really grateful to you and to God for you. We're thankful to those who continue to take up this role in many different ways in the coming term, helping us to gather in with Jesus, teaching us from the youngest and the oldest about who he is. As a congregation, we commit to encouraging people in this ministry and supporting them and praying for that. So we're just going to pause for a moment, and I'm going to pray and thank God for those who teach and lead us. Let's close our eyes and pray again. Lord God, we thank you for each and every person who responds to your call of faith and your call to serve. We thank you for everyone who has in the past, or is at the moment, or indeed will in the future, put their hand up for leading and teaching in whatever way to serve you. We look to the coming term and year with anticipation of seeing children and young people and all of us own and grow in our faith in you. And may your Holy Spirit empower all those who lead and teach as we gather in with you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, the boat reminds us to hope in Jesus, because he is our help. And he's with us as we head out to school or work or whatever life brings each day. And the barbecue breakfast reminds us that Jesus wants to spend time with us, to come to him, to enjoy his presence, to gather together with him and be fed by him. Let's know Jesus with us as we purposefully head out and gather in week after week this term. Amy is going to come and lead us in our prayers before we close with a song. Amy, thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you promise us that where two or three are gathered, you are there in the midst of us. As we come before you in prayer this morning, we thank you for knowing exactly what we need before we even ask. Thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives today and every day. Thank you for your steadfast love and immense goodness. And we are sorry for the times when we so easily focus on the things that we don't have, instead of the incredible blessings that you have freely given us. Forgive us when we don't thank you enough for who you are, for all that you do, and for all that you have given us. Thank you for your great love, care, and compassion, for your mercy, grace, and patience. And thank you that you are always with us and will never leave us. Father, only you know the true condition of each of our hearts. Yet despite this, you loved us so much that you gave your one and only Son to be the ultimate sacrifice and to pay the price for the cost of our sin. It is a cost that we could never afford on our own, Father. So we thank you so much for Jesus and for his victory over the grave, for the empty tomb and the hope of a future spent worshipping you in heaven for all eternity. Help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you afresh today. Renew our spirits and fill us with your peace and joy. And thank you for your unfaltering love for us, shown in so many ways we could not even begin to count. Father, we come to you this morning, each with our own individual circumstances and experiences of the week that has just passed. Some of us are thankful, content, joyful, and celebrating successes, while others come burdened with troubles, needs, anxieties, and worries, of which you know every detail, Father God. We come before you in openness, humbleness, and vulnerability, safe in the comforting knowledge that there is no aspect of our thoughts or lives that is hidden from you. As we sang earlier in our service, what a blessing it is to know, God, that in our wrestling, in our doubts, in our failures, you won't walk out. In the silence, you won't let go, and in the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead us through. You are the peace in our troubled sea. We think of those known to us who are suffering, those who are unwell physically or mentally, perhaps waiting on test results or battling with addiction, those facing financial hardship, work-related worries and stress, those fearful of the future, those who are lonely and isolated, and those who are feeling sad and they just don't know why. We take a few moments to bring before you by name those known to us personally who are in any kind of need. Father, you are the peace in our troubled sea, and may that peace which can only come from you and passes all understanding wash over all those who are in need of your loving touch this morning. As Ben has been helping us to reflect this morning, we pray for all those who are heading back into various settings of education, workplaces, and weekday life, whatever that may look like for us as individuals. When we think back to the summer last year, we give you thanks and praise for all of the opportunities this summer brought and for all the things we have been able to enjoy. Being able to attend church on alternate Sundays and worship in person with one another. Holidays closer to home, allowing us to explore and appreciate different corners of our beautiful country. Good weather, weddings, rest and relaxation, Exodus teams, Scripture Union camps and missions, Red Summer Camp, and many, many other blessings that you have given us. Father, as we begin to settle back into routines, we pray for our congregation as we gather back into a new term of activities, for life groups, youth groups, and the many other organisations within the church calendar. We pray that Jesus would be at the focus at the very centre of them all. God, we thank you today for every child and young person in our church family. We pray for all those in our church family who are starting new schools and for those who are starting university and maybe leaving the familiar surroundings of home for the first time. Be with them as they take these first steps and help them to start this new chapter of their lives with calmness and confidence, knowing that you are with them wherever they are. Help them to make new friends and find encouragement and help in you in their new situations. We pray, Father, that our schools would be places of learning, creativity, encouragement, and discovery for our young people. We ask that your peace and joy would fill classrooms, playgrounds, and lessons, that extracurricular activities might safely resume, and that through them, pupils will grow in their skills, understanding, and friendships. Father God, we pray for our head teachers, classroom assistants and support staff who work so hard to ensure that pupils thrive and reach their potential at school. We thank you for the support and encouragement they give and pray that you would give them wisdom for the year ahead. Please remind them of the impact they have on the lives of so many individuals. We pray for those in our own congregations who work in schools. In the challenging moments, please give them patience, energy, and a sense of your presence. We also pray for those in positions of leadership and influence in education who make decisions at a local and government level. We pray especially for Christians who serve and work among them, that you would protect them, that they would lead with integrity, that they would be influencers for good and work in a way that reflects and honours you. Going forward, we pray that assemblies, SU groups, and other Christian supports might be allowed to continue, recognising their value as places where children and young people can wrestle with tough questions, explore the Bible, and find out who you are. We realise, Lord, that this school year will have strange and unknown challenges with the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, and already we are hearing of pupils and teachers in many schools who have either contracted the virus itself or are having to isolate. We pray that you would move in this situation, God. May our schools, colleges, and universities be places of safety. May those who are unable to attend in person feel that they are able to keep up and not fall behind. And please grant wisdom to all those in authority who are responsible for making huge decisions which directly impact so many. As we turn our thoughts to the world around us, it's difficult not to be moved by the scenes we see and hear about in the news on a daily basis. We pray for the current situation in Afghanistan. In recent days, we have witnessed the withdrawal of Western forces and the paramilitary overthrow of the country's government by the Taliban. We are deeply concerned about this unfolding situation and the consequences for men, women, and children living there. Lord, you hear the cries and see the tears of those formed in your own image. Lord, we lift up to you the people of Afghanistan who are facing an uncertain and likely dangerous future. So many people who call Afghanistan their home have been displaced. Remind them, Lord, that their true home is in heaven with you. We pray that there may be a generous response to their need for a safe haven and help towards their future needs. May those countries and individuals who are in a position to respond do so generously. And above all, we pray for an end to the political uncertainty and a road to a more peaceful future. And we pray for your church in Afghanistan. Those who have converted from Islam to Christianity face the fear of persecution and even death. And unfortunately, this is not a situation that is limited to Afghanistan. Comfort, strengthen and protect and bless our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world for whom persecution is a daily reality. Give those who believe in you the courage to stand strong in their faith and be a powerful witness. And as the threat of persecution draws close to them, would you draw closer still? We also pray for those who have been affected by natural disasters in recent days and weeks. We particularly think of the devastation that has resulted from the earthquake in Haiti and Hurricane Ida in the United States of America. Father, please comfort the families of those who have lost their loved ones and give citizens of these places strength as they begin to piece their lives back together. Please allow for resources and supplies to be readily and quickly available and give them courage and strength emotionally, physically and spiritually as they navigate the next few weeks and months. We pray for the first responders and healthcare workers in these countries. They have worked tirelessly throughout the pandemic, and with natural disasters on top of everything, they are facing a daunting and overwhelming task. Lord, give them supernatural strength, sustenance, and ability to work through your spirit, and give them wisdom as they navigate how to aid so many people at once. Our world is experiencing so much hurt, violence, tragedy, and devastation. But you have told us in John chapter 26, verse 33, "Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." Thank you, Lord, that your finished work on the cross has made a personal relationship with you possible, and we have the living hope of an eternity spent in heaven with you. Father, as we look to the week ahead, may challenges we come up against not overwhelm us, may circumstances not discourage us, may we speak boldly about our faith to those we encounter, and in all things, may we remember that you are with us in our journeying. And all these prayers we lift up to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Well, as we come to the end of our gathering in with Jesus and we get prepared to head out with Jesus, we're going to sing a final, an older hymn, but it reminds us and calls us to go forth and tell of the powerful, loving presence of Jesus as we head out with him. Let's stand and sing together.
Jesus, Lord, our way, God save me.
with the words of the grace, and if you know them, say them, and say them to others, and if you don't, just hear them and be blessed by them. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you.